the commune was allowed, and indeed very importantly, was involved with organizing field work. This meant which family would work which estate plots, the lands that belonged totally to the landlord, and also what work would be done when, even on the peasant's own plots, to make sure that everything was coordinated in a rational way that served the community best. The commune would also periodically redistribute the land, not the estate lands, which belonged totally to the landlord, and peasants were asked to work those plots, though periodically it would be decided there too which plots which families would work. But most importantly, all the land that the peasants held, which didn't belong to them anyway, would periodically be thrown back into a general pot and redistributed to different families based on how big the family was, how many mouths it had to feed, how many young men it had to work in the fields, to make sure that the land was worked most effectively and that every family could survive. The commune also saw to the needs of the local clergy, paying the local priest for various services, and also taking care, perhaps, of the church if they had one, and very often of their own chapel when a church didn't exist in their small community. The commune also was responsible for managing everyday justice to make sure that the life of the peasant community was orderly and even, one might say, fair. This meant dealing with minor offenses, theft, one peasant stealing something from another, outsiders who visited the village and perhaps posed a danger, adultery, and various everyday crimes were dealt with by the peasant community meeting and deciding on punishments. The commune also dealt with officials, outside officials, which included, of course, in Russia especially, paying bribes when necessary to have certain issues taken care of. And most importantly, the peasant commune collectively decided who would go into the army. No small decision given the fact that army service in those years was 25 years. People rarely lived past 40, and therefore very few survived. Generally, you died in service, which meant it was a type of life sentence away from the community. You had to decide which family could afford to give up a son, which son could go into service, though to be sure, if you were so lucky as to survive these 25 years, you became free. You weren't expected to return to the village, but few were so lucky. As you might be able to see, in many ways, this commune, this rural community of peasants, self-organized in many ways, had a sort of double function. Partly it served the interests of landlords and the state, collecting taxes, ensuring order. But it also served to protect and promote the interests of peasants themselves, to give peasants a greater sense that they had some power over their daily life, which in a certain sense made their servitude, which was complete, more bearable. I should also say that peasants were deeply religious and tended to find also some degree of comfort and meaning in the world from their faith that the existence in which they lived had some bigger meaning than just suffering and death, that it meant something beyond this. In a later lecture, I'll talk more about peasant religion, but it's essential to keep in mind in asking the question of how peasants coped. Now, most of the time, peasants coped with their hardships in these ways, but they also found reasons and occasions to fight back. And they resisted in all sorts of small ways, everyday acts of quiet resistance, one might say. They resisted by laziness. It wasn't just their nature. It was a way of making life more bearable. Sloppy work, especially, by the way, when they worked the lands of the estate lands rather than the ones they were growing food for themselves. Petty theft, not from one another, but from the estate fields at night, sneak in and steal a little bit of the grain. Also, they're engaged in what might be called a type of cultural resistance to being always told what to do. Most notably, in holding religious beliefs and practices that their betters, landlords, clergy, and others, told them were backward and ignorant, superstitious. This included various customs that elites told them were old pagan customs, pre-Christian customs, such as the belief in the power of magic and of herbs to heal. This also included widespread affiliation among many peasants to old belief, that dissident form of orthodoxy I talked about before, after the church in the 17th century tried to reform certain forms of ritual to be more in accord with the Greek tradition. Many peasants stuck to the old ways rather than what the state told them was the proper way. There were also many religious sects, many of them growing out of the old believing movement, and also various forms of religious nonconformity within Orthodoxy. Peasants were very likely to be devoted to holy men that the church didn't recognize, even to pray to saints that hadn't yet been canonized. In many ways, they tried to live their own life within all of these constraints.